The circle across, Price back to a run in front, they score! Oh, yes, for Josh Pietrantonio! And the Expos win 4-3 in overtime!
Joel Silverberg's call of the Ice Bears. How about that? Please now to be joined by the general manager of the Ice Bears, and that is Mike Murray. Mike, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. What did you think of Joel's call there?
I mean, you know, he's from you guys. We got him right out of the studio there. He did such a great job for us. Not a lot of fans get to hear how emotional he gets on our broadcast, so it was kind of nice for our social media team to repost that on our Instagram, and so many of our fans were like, how do I get to hear that? So, you know, I can't appreciate Joel enough, just to show the emotion. I know my parents listen back home on the broadcast, and obviously there's nothing better for, you know, to see a sold out crowd rise to their feet at the same time. It never gets old from a front office or ownership's perspective, just to see that happen, 5,000 people at the same time. It's amazing. It's something that kind of gives you chills as an owner. And, you know, obviously it's great for the guys just to see everybody, you know, leave the building so happy.
Team's rolling pretty well right now, Mike. What's been the key?
Well, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about how we lost four in a row and how we got pushed around in our own building, and that just doesn't sit well with any of us. So Jeff made a couple changes on the back end, added some toughness, and the guys have kind of stepped up. And like I said, if you're whether you're an employee in an office setting or you're on a professional hockey team, it's if you're sitting next to the same guy for the longest time all year, and then all of a sudden he's not there because the team's not doing well, and he was the hostage kind of thing. It was just you kind of have to step up or step out, and you know, a lot of guys take pride in wearing the Knoxville Ice Bears crest on the front of their jerseys, and they really appreciate the fan base and everything that is supportive around this community. And if you don't play well enough to be here, you're just simply not. And so we make those two changes, and guys start rolling. We start playing better, playing tougher at home, and it's definitely shown.
Well, you guys did make some moves, but the trade deadline, I guess, is looming. What does that look like for you and you guys where you sit right now after the most recent changes?
Well, you know, we still have, and we just had a guy called up, Anthony McVay got called up. He's supposed to be back, but you know how that goes. So that would make six of our players called up to the next level, which is amazing. It's great. You know, we want them to get the opportunities that, that Jeff kind of promised they would in his recruiting efforts. But, we're looking for, it's kind of a bittersweet date. February 29th is the ECHL loan cutoff date, where if a player gets called up after that date, he cannot come back to our team. He can't come back to the league. So, you know, it has to be a for sure thing. And obviously there's a lot of conversation at that point, but the ECHL is very aware of that. And to the point where, you know, we put that rule in place for a reason, and it's simply just because as all of our teams head down the stretch, we need to know what we're going to go into battle with in the postseason. And so that's February 29th date for the cutoff date for the ECHL call-ups is in place, and the trade deadline is March 2nd. So, you know, any puzzle pieces that we feel need to be adjusted, if we know we're getting guys back or we're not getting guys back, then we need to make a trade. We'll pull the trigger. It's not like it's you're inheriting a 3 or 4 year contract. These guys are under a contract for 1 year, so it's all or nothing down the stretch. So there's a lot of meetings and conversations that go in with myself and Jeff and our assistant coach Spencer Metcalf about the pieces of the puzzle we need to have going in the battle to represent our town.
Mike, the anniversary of the Miracle on Ice is upon us, and I wonder, what do you remember about that from 1980?
I mean, yeah, tomorrow marks 40 years of that date. And obviously, as a Canadian kid sitting on the couch with my dad watching that, obviously that's what I remember the most. Obviously, you know, I was probably a couple of years away from that point of moving away from home, being drafted into junior hockey, and, you know, unbeknownst to me how critical that was going to be in my life. But I mean, sitting there on the couch with my dad watching that, as a Canadian kid, I didn't realize the magnitude that it had for the country. I mean, obviously, as a hockey person, as a hockey fan, to see them upset, you know, the giants of the hockey world at that time, I didn't realize personally at that time. I think I was maybe 13 years old, of the magnitude of what it did for the country of the United States. And you know, even to sit back and watch the NHL Network now and just see the stories that came from that and what it did to the country and kind of rallied the country was pretty amazing. Like I said, I didn't know the magnitude back then, but as I've grown and as I turned 19, I signed with the Philadelphia Flyers, and I've been in the States since I was 19. Just to hear the stories over the years have been absolutely incredible.
Well, the Russia team, that was actually in the semifinals. Some people forget that. The U.S. still had to go beat Finland, I think it was. But I don't recall the exact score, but in an exhibition, Russia beat the Americans like 12-2. It wasn't even a contest.
Yeah, I think they played them in New York 2 weeks earlier, and everybody thought it was just going to be a joke. But, you know, the guys and the great thing about it, a lot of people don't know this, is those guys were not professional hockey players. They were college.
The U.S. team,
Yeah, the U.S. team, sorry. And, you know, so for that, you know, Herb Brooks, you know, I mean, some of his press conferences, when I look back on some of those stories and seeing how he absolutely just bashed his own team. He said, we're not good enough to be on the same ice as those guys. And just the mental approach that he took to get his players to get motivated to rally for each other was a big part of why they won.
Mike, NBC did great work with Hockey Night in America. What'd you think of their coverage? And it even included Nashville and talking about the Nashville Sled Preds and the really highlighted the community. What'd you make of that?
I think it's amazing. Obviously, you know, from what we do here in Knoxville, Tennessee, to share our sport. I mean, Hockey Day in America is amazing. I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I mean, it was obviously the whole country of Canada stopped the day that Wayne Gretzky was traded to the LA Kings. I remember sitting there watching that too. I was just came back from my training workout or whatever, and everybody's in front of the TV watching Wayne Gretzky cry, and you know that he got traded to LA. But there's a number, and I'm not sure what the exact number is, of the amount of hockey arenas that have been built in Southern California as a result since Wayne Gretzky went there. And to see like guys like Austin Matthews, that's the leading goal scorer of the NHL right now, came from California. It's amazing how, you know, and I tell the story too, you know, as a Canadian, obviously you want to brag on Canada about how Canadian hockey players are this or that, but two of the guys that I played against and played with were two of the fastest skaters I'd ever seen during my time of playing. And one was Pat LaFontaine and the other one was Mike Modano. I'd never seen guys skate that fast in my life. And both of those guys at that time, obviously were American born players. It just seemed like they floated on air, and it was amazing to watch them. But, you know, to live in the States for as long as I have and just got my American citizenship a year and a half ago, and to be a part of the, you know, hockey landscape. And obviously, you know, just down the road from the Preds, to be acknowledged like that, you know, it's great to be a part of. I love sharing our, you know, the sport that I grew up loving so much with people that, you know, aren't so familiar with it. And we can educate around it. Yeah, we boast about all the promotions we do about the game to get people to the rink. But at the end of the day, it's an amazing sport. It's high intensity. It's all the things that you could ever ask for. And I think NBC has done a great job of you know, kind of sharing that ever since the 1980 Olympics.
Mike, tell us about Nautical Night.
Nautical Night, obviously, you know, we're slowly transitioning out of the January, February into the, you know, the spring. And obviously, Mastercraft has partnered with us to have some boats on display at the arena on Saturday night. And obviously, with boating comes tubing, and our promotion on the ice is going to be tube racing. So you've seen us do dinosaur racing, you've seen us do baby racing, you've seen us do wiener dog racing. Now we're doing tube racing. So it's It's always anytime we put race behind anything around this town, it's amazing the people that show up and want to see it. So it's obviously, I looked at the numbers this morning. The numbers are great for our Saturday night crowd. I can't thank Knoxville enough for supporting what we do. We've been averaging over 4,500 in the 5,000-seat arena for the last probably five or six, seven games. So it's been great, and we look forward to it. It's only we only play at home this Saturday night, only this week, so and then one again next week. So our crowds will still be hungry for hockey, if you will. And couldn't be we're headed down the stretch right now. We only have seven home games left before the postseason, and hopefully to bring Knoxville its fifth title.
I have been out of pocket a little while. Did you have a capacity crowd for Wiener Dog Race Night?
Yeah, we sold out for Wiener Dog Race. I was very impressed for Valentine's Day. We were, a little cautious about having that date chosen. It was either going to take that date or have to be stuck with a Tuesday or a Thursday, so we took it. And I was amazed that we had 3,200 people in the building for Valentine's night, and then we turned around for Star Wars and sold the building out for Star Wars night too. So it's, like I said, people are looking for great entertainment and for 2.5 hours for as low as $18. I don't know anywhere else you're going to get that. Our production team is doing such a great job with the entertainment aspect of that Jumbotron or that video board. And it makes it all worthwhile. And it's, we're going to keep growing from it as a result with more and more corporate partners.
Hey, Mike, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
Guys, thanks so much for having us. You guys have a great weekend as well, and hopefully we'll bring home another two wins this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks so much.
Mike Murray, general manager of the Ice Bears. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.